Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to go over the handout sheets that I gave you. You will have some things to fill out in an outline later on. But let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read verses 54 to 57. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you can take out those sheets you have now, it says on there, seven steps to victory. And under that, it lists this, four last things in this chapter. And then we're going to look at seven practical steps to victory that we can have through Jesus Christ and as Christians. The first thing I want to draw your attention to, I know you can read, but I'm going to read it for you anyhow as we go down this. It's not very long. We said about four last things. It speaks in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. It talks about the last witness. Paul said in verse 8, I saw him myself. That's the one reason is given for us to believe that actually Paul was the one who took the place of Judas as far as the apostles were concerned. In the Lamb's Book of Life in Heaven, there's a list of all the saved, and Paul's name is last on the list of those who saw Jesus with their own eyes and believed. Last and also least in his opinion, and the least of all saints. Today we see him not with our eyes, but our hearts. And of course, we're talking about Jesus. We see him in our hearts. We see him through reading and studying his word. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Your name can be added to that list today if it hasn't already been added. Amen? That's a precious thought. The last enemy, verse 26. Death is the last enemy we face, and it is defeated before we even meet it. The war is already won. That's tremendous to know. I've often said, I do not fear death. I may not necessarily like the way I might check out of here, but I don't worry about what's on the other side of death's door. Jesus is waiting for me. Amen? So that makes a difference. Verse 54, the last part of it, says death is swallowed up in victory. Death was also Christ's last enemy, and he conquered it. Verses 20 and 22. Man's curse after Eden was the sweat of the brow and thorns. And in Gethsemane, Jesus sweat great drops of blood. And on Golgotha wore the thorny crown. Death is not a period, but a comma for the believer. That's an excellent statement there. It's not original with me, but I think that's a good one. Then we said, last witness, the last enemy, the last Adam, verse 45. Death was brought about by the first Adam and was conquered by the last Adam. You can contrast the two there. Verse 44 talks about natural versus spiritual. Verse 45, body versus spirit. Verse 47 to 49, earthly versus heavenly. Verse 50, corruptible versus incorruptible. That's flesh versus spirit. John 3 says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The last trumpet. Oh, man, am I looking forward to that. I love to hear a trumpet. I love to hear Dave play his trumpet. But I guarantee you, I don't care how good the trumpet player is here on earth, when we hear that trumpet, it's going to be better than anything you ever heard before. Amen? You know, that could be today. That could be right now during this service. And I wouldn't mind leaving my notes behind. That would be great. And we go out of here together. Now, not all believers will taste death, but the sting of death is taken out for all believers. And then, of course, Paul, the last witness, told us how the last enemy, death, was defeated by the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who preserves his saints until the last trumpet sound, and he's taking us home in victory. Now let's just look at some practical steps to victory as we are still here on this earth. You have the outlines that you can fill out, and Brenda will put it up on the screen also. The V in victory stands for vigilance. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Romans 13, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, be watchful, be on guard. There is spiritual warfare going on all about us. The devil likes to defeat us as far as yielding to temptation. Satan is public enemy number one. Now that you've been saved, he walks about with free rein for now. And he can devour you and sift you as wheat. The Bible tells us that. Remember what Jesus said to even Peter when he was here on earth. This is why we must walk very close to God. Don't feed the lion with your flesh. You stay close to the Lord. It tells us to flee youthful lust. And we can do that also. Amen? So very, very important. The letter I in victory. Imagine the consequences. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 11 to 13 says this. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Yes, I have to be honest with you. There are some things I don't do because I do fear God. If you had an earthly father that raised you the right way, you can also remember there were things you didn't do because your father said don't do them and you feared him. I feared at times that nice belt that he had, and he graduated every now and then to a paddle. And when I thought I was too big to be paddled, he gave me a lesson down in the basement when we put on the boxing gloves. And I woke up and said I'd rather go back to the belt. All right, you understand. There should be a fear of God. By the way, that was not abuse. And I'm still here and I'm doing real fine, if you understand. There is a difference between correcting children their right way and spanking them and abusing them. Spanking is not abusing. Thank you very much. No government official ever asked me to explain the difference. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. This is more than just a healthy fear, if I can say. Also imagine the physical, the emotional consequences of certain sins. I've often said this, and I believe this with all my heart, and God designed it this way. It's wonderful to be married, to have a husband and wife in communion with God. And it's wonderful, all the benefits that go with that. But isn't it interesting? You can go out of the bounds of marriage one time and have a sexual encounter with one other person just one time and pay the consequences for the rest of your natural life because of disease or other things. That's the way God has it designed. Not see in the word victory, cry out to God. Psalm 34:6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know when we need to cry out to God, we as Christians? Sometimes we need to cry out when tempted. Sometimes we need to cry out after you fail, and you may, almost guaranteed, you will fail, but isn't it wonderful that we can cry out to God and he forgives us and helps us to walk on the path that he has placed us once again. And of course, I think there's many times we need to cry out to God throughout the day for a number of things. I think we need to cry out to God, especially now in this particular day that was set aside for the Christians that are persecuted around the world, some things that they have to go through that are unimaginable. We need to cry out to God about that. We need to cry out to God concerning this election that's coming up. And that God gives us people who will rule well. And we need to pray. Now listen to this very carefully. In America, we need to pray that God doesn't give us what we rightly deserve. Now, you have to think about that for a while sometimes. But think about it very closely as we pray and decide who we will vote for on Tuesday. Very, very important. The T in victory. Take thoughts into captivity. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, which means suppressing imaginations or thoughts, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let me read that again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So very important. That involves what we read, what we look at, what we allow to come into our lives. Because a lot of things that get us into trouble start through the eye gate, go to our thoughts, and then turn into action. Temptation comes like a serpent in the garden saying, ye shall not surely die. Remember who he said that to at the first event. You'll become as gods. Well, that's what he wanted. How'd he make out? This is the kind of thoughts to cast down during temptations. Thoughts, we already said, become desires, which turn into actions, which produce habits that become your life. The most dangerous form, and some of you have heard about this drug in the 60s, the most dangerous form of LSD, lust, sin, and death. That's even worse than the drug that they took back in the 60s. Lust, sin, and death. The O in victory, when we're thinking about us Christians and while we want to maintain this victory. Omnipresence of God. Omnipresence of God. Genesis 39, verses 7 to 9. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? God. You know what she did, this evil woman? She made sure that there was nobody else around when she set up Joseph. That's another reason that I'm very careful when it comes to counseling a woman one-on-one. Don't happen often. If it does, I try to make it almost in the middle of the sunlight so people can see what's going on. And if it has to be done in an office, guess who is near or sitting by my side or in front of me? My lovely wife. She takes care of those things, okay? And that's the way it should be, amen? Because God sees all. He knows what's going on. You know, you see these here videos sometimes of these people that get caught stealing. What do you see them doing before they pick up the item they're going to put in their bag or put under their coat? They're looking all around here. You know, the sad part is they ought to look up and then decide, "Ooh, maybe I better not do that." But they look around yet to see if anybody's watching. Oh, there's somebody watching, all right. And it's more than just that camera that just picked them up, too. God is. His omnipresence means he sees it all. His omniscience means he knows it all. And his omnipotence means he's big enough to deal with us when we sin as his children. And he can deal with a lot of things in this world and take care of it. Psalms 139:2. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The R in victory. Rely on the scripture. Rely on the scripture. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Joshua 1:8 is a very good verse. It says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's Joshua 1:8. You know what it means? Meditate in Hebrews, it means to chew the cud. We covered that about a week or two ago, I believe. That means you bring that up and you think about it again and meditate upon it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye might be able to bear it. And he will do that. But keep your nose in the book, even more so than ever in the year 2018, coming up to 2019. God will bring the verses to mind if the verses are in your mind. Remember that, meditating upon God's word. The Bible is a sword, an offensive weapon with which to resist the devil and fight against him. He can't stand against that. Why in victory? Yield to the Spirit. You know as well as I do, there's that old nature that is still with you. You can yield to him too and end up in trouble. So the best thing for you to do is yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Whatever God says to do, we must obey in order to have his power over sin in this world. You listen to him, you follow him, you follow his leading, you're going to make out a whole lot better than if you followed that old nature that is with you until you're glorified. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. A miracle has happened today. I actually brought forth a short sermon today, all right? Let's pray.